We're going to call this message this morning, The Indwelling Spirit of God. Being Spirit-filled or the presence of God, the Spirit of God indwelling us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Glory to God. If you want to experience the Holy Spirit, if you want to experience more of God, first of all, the first week we went over there to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, and it said, "Oh, you simple ones or foolish ones, how long will you love foolish things?" Right? And God said, "I will pour," he said, "turn from your simplicity or your foolishness." He said, "And I will pour out my Spirit upon you." And so we said this, the number one way to experience God's Spirit is to put things aside that have no spiritual or eternal significance. All right? Now that doesn't mean you can't just enjoy some simple things in life. That doesn't mean you can't have recreation in your life. Of course, we need that. Praise the Lord. But how many of you know some of us in Christians overall, we spend way too much time in front of the TV, way too much time in front of the computer, way too much time giving our strength to things that have no eternal significance. God says, turn away, sacrifice some of that, spend some more time with me. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon you. And so if we want to experience God's Spirit, we're going to have to put the flesh under somewhere. Amen. You know, you got to make room for him somewhere, and praise the Lord. And so we talked about that, and then last week we talked about experiencing the Holy Ghost in the corporate anointing. And we saw over there in Matthew 18, Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in his name, he said, I will be in the midst with you. God's presence moves into a place when we gather in his name. Listen, there's more than two or three here today. There's a lot of measures of faith and a lot of, born-again believers here today, you know, contributing to this presence. God said, if you, you know, you come together in that name, he said, I'm going to be there in the midst with you. And when God is here, his abilities are here. And notice it is something God has eliminated the selfish factor. You can't have all of God by yourself. You're gonna have to submit to a fellowship. Listen, that's why I say it all the time. We need each other, right? I need you. You need me. You know, we're in fellowship together because God's presence is designed to work when we are together. It's not anything that can be replicated through TV cameras. It's nothing that can be replicated through just, you know, reading, you know, a pastor's book or something. It is something that we can only get when we're in fellowship in a local church. Amen. So that's the second way. And then today we're going to talk about the indwelling Spirit. And I want to make a connection between our spirit and the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm just going to, you know, of course, this series of messages, I've started off real simple. I'm going to keep it real simple, and then we'll get into the more in-depth things as the weeks go on. But so many Christians fail to understand that they have a spirit, and the spirit of man is designed to fellowship with the Spirit of God. And there's something in your being, there's something in your makeup that God has designed for you to receive of him, to hear his voice, to be led by the spiritual and not just by the natural things. You know, to not be a Christian that is always driven by the circumstances, always looking at the bad news, always looking at stuff that's going on around you. Listen, there's a better answer. Amen. We are spirit, soul, and body. Amen. The Bible tells us that over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says that God will sanctify or set you apart completely in your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. Your spirit is the real you. This flesh isn't going to live forever. But that real you on the inside is what God is the most concerned about. You are a spirit being just like God is a spirit being. You're going to exist forever. It's just a matter of where and how. You might as well do it God's way. Amen. Amen. And it is your spirit that affects everything in your life. Your spirit is what gives strength to your body. Your spirit is what guides you with the voice. You know, the voice of God speaks to your spirit. Amen. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 2 that you cannot even know the plan of God for your life apart from listening to your spirit as the Holy Ghost communicates to your spirit. Amen. And so we're going to talk about the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, guess what? Guess who is on the inside of you right now? The Holy Spirit. And so guess what? You don't have to go far to experience Him. All right? But so many times, believers, even experienced believers, we get out of that mindset. We forget that He's with us all the time. We forget how to hear His voice. We forget how to experience Him. Let's not do that anymore. Amen. Are you here today? Remember last week we talked about the responding and the corporate anointing? I'll tell you what. God loves a rejoicing, celebrating church. Praise the Lord. Have you found John chapter 3? We're going to start in verse 1 right in the beginning. I've taught on these scriptures many, many times. Listen, you have probably read this chapter of scripture many times, but don't ever get the mentality like, oh, I've heard this before. You know, God wants us to be excited about His word every single time. Amen. Let's start in verse 1, John 3, 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, the Pharisees were the religious elite scholars of the day. They knew more about the Old Testament than anybody, and they should have known the prophecies regarding Jesus and so on. And so Nicodemus, he's going to track Jesus down to talk to Him. In verse 2, it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And so Nicodemus was confessing privately, even though the Pharisees were Jesus' greatest rivals, you know, meaning that they fought everything He said and did, they all obviously admitted privately that, you know, God must be with him. Because nobody can do these miracles except God be with them. So notice it was the miracles that Jesus was performing that was speaking to the heart of these Pharisees. And they knew, but they just didn't want to admit it because they didn't want to lose their social status. They didn't want to lose their power. They didn't want to admit that this carpenter from Nazareth knew more than they did, right? And so here we see in verse 3, and Jesus is answering, and of course, I wasn't planning on teaching this direction, but I cannot help but mention it. Every time I look at these verses, Jesus is responding to what? He's responding to Nicodemus saying or wondering, how are you doing these miracles? God is with you. We know that no one can do these miracles except He's apart from God. Now look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. Remember I mentioned this last week, the words verily, verily. It's the words amen and amen. This is true. I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So many times, you know, we interpret that verse. We think Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot go to heaven. All right, that's not what Jesus said. Now, don't misunderstand me. You have to be born again to go to heaven. All right, because I saw some strange looks on your faces when I said that. But Jesus wasn't talking just about how to go to heaven. All right, Jesus was answering Nicodemus and Nicodemus's inquiries about the miracles, about why the power of God was taking place in Jesus' life. And Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So Jesus calls those miracles, what he's seeing on this earth, the kingdom of God. All right? Remember when Jesus told his disciples, he said, when you cast a demon out, you tell him that the kingdom of God has come near unto you. You understand that there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is just strictly where God dwells. There's people in heaven. You probably have family and loved ones that are there. You know, praise God for heaven. We're going there someday. But the kingdom of God includes everything that is under God's control or His possession. There are things on this earth that are under God's control and in His possession. Would there be anybody here today that would be included in that? Yeah. You know, remember in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it says, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named? How many of you know God's family isn't just in heaven? He has family on the earth as well. That's who we are. We are just as much of God's kingdom as those people are in heaven. We're just on his part of the kingdom that's on the earth. The born-again church, the born-again believers, anything that is in the possession of God's church, not just family church, anything, any church that preaches Christ, right? Any born-again believer on this earth is in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is responding to Nicodemus. This is why the power is taking place. This is why miracles are changing lives. This is why healing is coming to the sick. This is why the dead are being raised again. This is the reason why demons are being cast out. Glory to God. Because you cannot see the kingdom of God without being born again. Notice the kingdom of God is something to be seen on this earth. No, you have not seen heaven. No, you have not seen the golden streets yet or God sitting on the throne. Maybe there's a few individuals in the body of Christ, you know, very small percentage that God has revealed that to. Obviously, people in the Bible, there were ones that had that revealed. I have never seen the throne of God. I have never seen the streets of gold. I have never seen a building in heaven, all right? Okay? But those aren't the only things to see in the kingdom of God. There are other things to see in his kingdom. Come on now. And he says the way you're going to see them is that when you're born again. All right? Praise the Lord. Listen, the kingdom of God, what did Jesus say in Luke's gospel? He said, and the kingdom of God shall be in you. Remember when Jesus said that? The kingdom of God shall be in you. All right? The kingdom of God is also on this earth to be demonstrated on this earth. When in verse 2, when Nicodemus was talking about the miracles Jesus did, where were those miracles taking place? On earth. And Jesus said, well, you're not going to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You know, and so he's explaining where these miracles come from. These miracles come from the power of God in the born-again believer. Yeah. Do you know that Jesus in the Bible is called the firstborn of the Spirit? Right. Not the only, but the first. Yeah. Aren't you glad? He says that he led many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Do we have any born-again believers here today? Yeah. You say, well, what's the difference between us and Jesus? Well, in the mind of God, nothing. Yeah. You know, in the mind of God, nothing. Obviously, Jesus himself didn't need to be redeemed. He was the only one qualified to bear our sins, all right? But he was born of the Spirit. Maybe you have in your Bible, go back there to verse 3, maybe you even have a little asterisk or a little number or a little study note next to the words born again. In your Bible, and if you go over into your margin or down at the bottom of the page, verse 3, the words born again also mean born from above. Born from above, all right? In a few moments, Jesus is also going to use the term born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Let's keep reading. I love this. Listen, if you didn't come to church excited today, I know I did. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about these scriptures. I know I've taught on this before. I don't care. I love it. This is in my heart. So this is what way we're... And I'll tell you what, things are going to come out that have never come out before. But every time I start reading this passage, I have to stop and explain that Jesus is talking about seeing God demonstrate his kingdom on this earth. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So many Christians today say, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Well, does it happen in heaven? Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, if it happens in heaven, then God said, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because whatever he's doing there, he wants to do here. But unlike heaven, no one has to pray that God's will be done in heaven. It's automatic there, but it is not automatic here. So God says, I need somebody praying the power down. I need somebody willing to move with that power on this earth. Because unlike heaven, it doesn't just automatically happen here. Come on now. Right? Okay. And so he says, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above. In a few moments, he's going to use the statement, born of the Spirit. They're all synonymous terms. He cannot see or experience the kingdom of God. Can we bring up verse 3 in the Amplified? Watch this. Remember, I'm teaching a series of messages, how to experience the Holy Ghost. I love that word experience. Look at how the Amplified writes it. The Amplified is a Greek and Hebrew scholar Bible. It brings out the original language that the Bible was written in. It says, Jesus answered him. He said, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you. See, that's what verily means. I cannot tell you more truth than this. That unless a person is born again, born anew, or born from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. See, Jesus is trying to explain to Nicodemus, this is how you experience God. This is how you experience his kingdom. How many of you know God has experiences for this life? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I got half of you with me right now. I promise you by the end of this service, I'm going to get the other half. Glory to God. Say, well, Pastor, I'm just here to sit in church, wait until noon. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, just sitting in church never did anything for you. Participating in church did a lot for you, but just sitting there does nothing, you know. You know, I don't care. You can sit in a lot of places. It don't make anything. You can sit in the cockpit of an airplane. It don't make you a pilot, right? You can take the garbage out. It don't make you a garbage man, right? You can hold, you know, holding a famous baseball player's autograph doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. People have that same mentality with church. Well, I'm just going to sit here and bide my time. No, Jesus said you actually have to give measure to what you hear. Yep. We all came here, but some brought different measures. Some have a different measure of attention. Some have a different measure of excitement with it. Oh, God loves cheerful listeners. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And all the mothers said, no way. Come on, Nicodemus, you're an educated man. Is he being sarcastic? We don't know. You know, it's hard to tell, but obviously, you know, I don't think Nicodemus really thought that that's what Jesus is talking about. But Jesus explains again in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice again, it didn't say kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. When you were born again, you entered the kingdom of God. Like I said, you are just as much in the kingdom of God now as those people are in heaven. All right, when I got born again, I entered the kingdom of God. He said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of questions on water and spirit. What does that mean? Born of water and of the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is the easy answer. Okay, we know who the Holy Spirit is. We know that he's talking about when you're born again, it's a work of the Holy Ghost. You are remade into the image of God. God's presence moves into the inside of you, all right? You are born again. Your life starts brand new in the eyes of God. But what's it mean to be born of water? And of course, a lot of groups, they think, well, you got to be born again by water baptism. Well, water baptism is an ordinance that we follow, but just being water baptized does not get you born again. All right, so it's not talking about water baptism. I know that upsets some folks, but it's not. Water baptism is something that somebody who already is a believer does. All right, and if you had to be born again with water baptism, then what about the thief on the cross? He had no opportunity to be water baptized. Okay, so that in of itself does not get somebody born again. But now what the Bible does teach us is that What does the scripture say? It says that we're born again by the incorruptible word of God. And the Bible says that we should receive the washing of the water of the word. Right? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, that we're born again by the word of God. And the word says that God's word is like a washing of the water of the word. All right? Also, the Spirit of God is also mentioned in reference with water as well. That when you receive Christ in God's eyes, you are washed by the water of his word. Okay? That is what the scriptures tell us what the water is. Man has our, you know, religion has opinions. Different, you know, groups have their opinions. But what does the word say? We're washed by the water of the word. You could say it this way. Except a man be born of the word and of the spirit, he cannot enter into or see or experience the kingdom of God. All right? Boy, I tell you what, it sure is good to be born again. Because why? You qualify to experience the kingdom of God. You're qualified for what? Miracles. God can now move into your life. His kingdom can surround you. You are qualified. You're in his house. You're known by his name. I'll tell you what, being born again is the best experience that there is for a human being. That's absolutely right. The Bible says so much so, Peter, he said this way, so much so that angels desire to look in to see and know what we have as born again children of God. Because angels aren't called his children. They're just simply servants and messengers. We are sons and daughters. Glory to God, it sure is good to be born again. So Jesus is explaining again, Nicodemus, no, I'm not talking about a natural birth. I'm not talking about re-entering the womb. He said, I'm talking about when you are washed with the word and the Spirit of God transforms your very nature. When you got born again, your old nature was removed and a new nature was put in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, and so a lot of Christians, they don't know this. That, listen, it's not, when you got born again, it wasn't just an address change from hell to heaven. Thank God that that's included. But it was a nature change. All right? You had the nature of hate. You had the nature of sin. You had the nature of fear. You had the nature of sickness and disease. You had the nature of anxiety, poverty, lack. All that nature was scrubbed and replaced with God's new nature, which his nature is love. His nature is praise. His nature is joy. His nature is provision. Glory to God. You didn't need an address change as much as you needed a nature change. You know what I mean? Your nature from sin and hate needed to be changed to love and peace. Glory to God. But a lot of Christians, they don't know that, so they accept Jesus, but then they keep living like the old nature. That's a problem. All right? And so, verse 6, Jesus is still explaining to Nicodemus. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Well, that's all flesh can do. Flesh can only do what the physical world has. Flesh is limited by the physical world. Flesh is limited by circumstances. Flesh can only have what flesh can see. I'm going to say that. Flesh can only have what flesh can see, what flesh can hear, what flesh can taste and touch, right? That's the only thing. See, the flesh is limited by the flesh. Come on. You can only have what the fleshly world offers. I'll tell you what, that is why people are so miserable and depressed. Because I'll tell you what, if I was just living and looking at this world and that's all that was offered in this life, it would be very depressing. But when you know that you're born of the Spirit, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. See, that's unlimited. The Spirit is not limited by the flesh. The Spirit is not limited by worldly circumstances. Glory to God. Being born again. So what is God saying? I just now made all of the realm of the Spirit available to you. All the Bible says, Paul told the Colossians in chapter 1, he said, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory, Christ in us. Oh, come on. So instead of looking at what the world has and having to live life, picking things out of this life and having to live by that, what if you could pick out of his treasure chest? God basically opened up his bedroom to you. And he said, go and have anything that you can find in my house. Anything that's there, you can have it. That sounds pretty good to me. He said, come into my house and whatever you see, you can have it. See, that's the difference. We're living in what God has. The world is just looking around. They're living by the flesh. Well, I got to have it this way. This is all I can expect. My education level limits me here. My experience limits me here. My, you know, this and all this. They put all these limits. You know, well, if you understand that you're born from above, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you're limited, I'm not. He's saying, you're limited, I'm not. You're in the kingdom of the world, I'm not. You're held by the flesh, I'm not. He's saying, listen, you're born of the flesh, that's all flesh can get. He said, I'm born of the spirit, I can have whatever God has. Because Nicodemus, the man of the flesh, is like, wait a minute, how are we seeing these miracles? Because Jesus is saying, well, miracles happen when you're not limited to the flesh. When you're not limited out of, you know, you're not just living out of the limited availability of the world. Come on now. See, we look at this passage of Scripture, and so many times Christians just think, well, that's how we just get to heaven. Listen, heaven is coming. Glory to God for heaven. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to, yes, it's beyond what your mind could even imagine. It's awesome, okay? But guess what? There's a plan for you on this earth. And before you get to heaven, there's things that you need to do here. And you need to understand the nature of God that's in you here to fulfill the assignment here. Because when you get there, you want to make sure you first fulfilled your assignment here. You want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what Jesus is now saying? He's saying when you're born of the Spirit, the candle of your spirit has now been lit. God has reignited. He has turned on that light on the inside of you. It's awesome. You know, that's the difference between someone who's born again and someone who's not. But someone who's born again has their spiritual nature is remade. It's been recreated in the image of God. The light has turned on. Glory to God. You know, there's a candle burning. There's a coal. There's a fire of God on the inside. But the person that's not born again, they don't know that. They don't have that. And he's trying to explain to them, listen, if you want to experience the kingdom of God, you need to be born of the Spirit. And he says in verse 7, marvel not. Don't be surprised that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Don't be surprised. He's saying, don't be surprised. See, that's what's happening. Everyone's trying to live in the flesh and surprised that God's not working for them. They're wondering why miracles aren't surrounding them. They're wondering why there's not, you know, the kingdom of God is not surrounding them. They're wondering why provision isn't surrounding them. They're wondering why peace and joy isn't surrounding them. Listen, if you live in the flesh, that's all you can get. Can you bring up real quick? Can you bring up Galatians 6:8? You know this verse, right? Galatians 6:8, if you sow into, you know, the flesh, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Notice that's the only thing the natural world can give you. Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So now, we could say it this way. God has given us a new field to sow into. Right? If a farmer is going to have harvest, he's got to have a field first. Now, if you're not born again, the only thing you have is the natural world to sow into. That's your only field that's available to you. But when you're born of the Spirit, now you can start sowing into the Spirit. All right? See, that's what we're talking about. When you put the TV down, you know, step away from the TV, you know, you read that chapter every day. What are you doing? You're sowing to the Spirit. What am I trying to do as a pastor? Trying to get you to reap life everlasting. As you'd say, no, a little less Facebook today, a little bit more Word. You know, what are you doing? Sow into the Spirit. You know, a little bit more prayer. What are you doing? Sow into the Spirit. And as you sow into that new field that God has provided for you, his harvest is going to come out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. You're born again. Much like a baby, you now learn to walk in this new realm, right? You learn to talk in that realm. You learn to experience and explore in that realm, all right? Much when a baby is born, they can't do very much at first, can they? All right, but if they grow and if they're nourished and they grow up, they start to be able to walk around. And I'll tell you what, little kids, they start to explore pretty early, don't they? I mean, they go looking for every table to stand up next to, everything that's on that table, you know, becomes, you know, something that they seek and everything. The more they explore, the more they experience that new realm that they were just born into, the more abilities that they get. All right? Aren't you glad you didn't stay a baby forever? You know, just think, there was one time when great athletes like, you know, Michael Jordan was once a baby, you know, and here he was. He just needed a little time to grow up in this realm, and all of a sudden he's dunking and doing all. See, it makes sense to me. My illustrations are more for me, you know. Whatever, who, you know, if the sporting illustration doesn't make sense to you, you know, think of your own. Praise the Lord. But, I mean, just think, one time Joe Montana was a baby. One time Tom Brady was just an infant. And no one looked at that little infant and said, there sits the undisputed best quarterback that will ever step on a football field. Because right now he's just a bubbling little baby. But someday he will don a number 12 jersey. And he will put to shame every other athlete that ever stepped on a football field because he's just that incredibly good. He didn't even play all that well last night, I heard. I found out after. I had to ask Siri how he did, and he did okay. But they still crushed him. Praise the Lord. You know, there's always got to be some football reference. But no one looks at, you know, LeBron James when he was a little baby, or somebody with great talent and skill, or maybe, you know, Mozart or whatever, you know, realm you want to look. And no one said, you know, I see that ability. But the more they had time and experience and they grew in that realm, great abilities came forth. The same is true for us spiritually. We're born into that realm that we can learn to explore and sow into the realm of the Spirit. And with that will come great abilities. Great abilities to what? Hear from God? To be led of God? Amen. To do what He wants us to do. God, once you learn to hear God's voice, He'll start telling you to do things that you never would have thought of on your own. Pastoring, it's not a career choice of mine. I'm not here because it's my career. It has nothing to do with that. It's not my job. It's not the way I make a living, though I do make a living from it, but it wasn't my choice. I love it now. You know what I mean? I love to do what God has for me, but God chose that for me. God chose that for me. I was a school teacher. I thought I'd be a school teacher, you know, just naturally speaking. But as soon as I started to sow into the Spirit, as soon as I started to walk in that realm and talk in that realm and speak to God, guess what? He spoke back. Yeah. A lot of people, they don't get weirded out when you say that you talk to God. Where they get weirded out is when you say He talked back. And see, you can be a Christian that just talks to God, or you can be the one that actually listens and hears Him talk back. Anyone can talk to God. Any sinner can talk to God. Any other religion can talk to God, but you must be born again to hear God talk back. Your spirit must be reborn. That candle, that light must be turned on the inside. You got to start exploring in that new realm. Amen. This is the trap for believers. They accept Christ and then they never learn to walk in this realm. They enter into the realm of the Spirit, but they continue to live in the physical realm only. That's dangerous, because there's somebody in this, you know, on this earth that wants to destroy your life. The devil is on this earth. He wants to destroy your life. And it's dangerous to be someone that steps up and gets born, but then they stay an infant their whole life. Imagine in the natural, if a baby stayed an infant for 25 years, how dangerous would that be? They're more vulnerable. That's what happens. People, they say, well, I want Christ, I want born again, but I don't want to learn to walk in that realm. Well, you better learn to walk in that realm. You're going to need to know how to defend yourself in that realm. Yeah, praise the Lord. You will live the realm you sow into. You will live the realm you sow into. You know why people are so depressed and miserable all the time? Because they're doing nothing but sowing into the physical realm. Listen, thank God for the blessings He puts on this earth, okay? But those blessings still came from God. You know what I mean? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above and cometh down by the Father of lights, in whom is no darkness, neither shadow of turning. Anything that you have good in this life came from God. You say, well, I earned it myself. No, you didn't. You know? Because that air in your lungs, you borrowed it from God. You borrowed it. That strength in your body, that matter, that organic matter that makes up your body, guess what? You didn't think of that. He did. It's on loan to you. You didn't think of, well, I did this, I did that. No, if you have anything good, the author of it was God. Amen. I say it, Katie and I, my wife and I, we say all the time, when we pray with our kids, Father God, you're the author of everything good in our lives. Amen. But just think, you know, if people have to live only by the natural realm, what a miserable existence it would be. Yeah, see, now that we're in the realm of being born again, we can stoke our appetite for the things of the Spirit. Right? You've now been presented this whole new life. You can get hungry for the things that God has for you. All right, here is how you experience the Holy Ghost. Are you ready for this? Yes. You crave Him. Yes. Craving. Does anyone know what a craving is, at least naturally speaking? Yeah, all the pregnant ladies said amen. All the mothers said amen. And let's face it, guys, we know what a craving is too, you know? I mean, you ever just naturally just get a craving for something? Maybe it's a good steak. Maybe it's a sweet potato fully loaded with marshmallow topping on it. Not that I've ever had one of those. I'm way too spiritual for that. No, I can't lie to you. I think I had one about 2 weeks ago. Praise the Lord. It was awesome. You get cravings for certain food. God forbid, have you ever had a craving for fast food? Tell on yourself. Have you ever sat down? I mean, you might even be looking at a real nutritious home-cooked meal and something on the inside says, I wish I had Taco Bell. I know none of you have ever felt that way. Man, I could go for a chalupa. Oh, man, you know, those Crunchwrap Supreme things. Anyway. See, what am I doing? I'm stoking some of your natural appetite. Because just like your natural body can hunger for things, your spirit can hunger for things. Didn't Jesus say over there in Matthew 4:4, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many of you know that the human body can hunger for bread? Flat bread. Wheat bread. Rye. You know? I was just at breakfast the other day, and I said, what kind of toast do you want? And, what kind of bread do you want for your toast? I'm like, well, what are my options? And, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize there were so many different options for toast. You know, well, we have white, we have wheat, we have rye, we have pumpernickel, we have this. Breads I've never even heard of before. You know, sourdough, and I've heard of that. But, I mean, there was just a lot of different options. And, see, I was trying to determine what sounds good. Why? Because the body can have cravings. How many of you know your spirit can crave? Your spirit can desire the Holy Spirit. And this is why so many Christians never, ever experience the Holy Ghost, because they never get hungry for Him. But here is how you get hungry for Him. You got to actually experience Him. All right, it's like this. You know, let's see. Somebody who lives in another part of the world, if they've never had a cheeseburger, it's going to be hard for them to get hungry for a cheeseburger. Probably a lot of people in India have never had cheeseburgers because their religion there doesn't permit them. I'm so glad we're under grace and not law. Hallelujah. We can eat cheeseburgers. We're allowed now in the New Testament to eat bacon. We can. People say, oh, you're just flaunting your grace in Christ. Well, Paul did. Paul said, I'm just free in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean your freedom is a freedom to go sin. Let's just make that clear. Some people say, well, I'm free to go cheat on my spouse. No, you're not. I'm free to go drink alcohol. No, you're not. No, you're not. But there are certain things, the dietary law passed away. And so you can eat bacon. Whereas if you were in the Old Testament, you couldn't. And I'm just so glad for the New Testament. It is a better covenant, established on better promises. But if you've never had bacon, you can't crave it. You're going to have to what? Try it. You're going to have to taste and see if that's something that your appetite is going to want to have again. You know, how many, let's just think of some common foods. How many of you like spaghetti and meatballs with a really good, you know, spaghetti sauce? Anyone in here? Yeah, see, a lot of us, almost most of us, we like that, and there's times that we can crave that because we've had it before. And so we've experienced it, and so we want more of it. I have not eaten my last plate of spaghetti and meatballs, all right? I'm going to have it again. Why? Because I've experienced it before, and I want to have that again, all right? In the same way, if you're going to stoke your appetite for the Spirit of God, you're going to have to experience Him. You're going to have to what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him, right? Can you bring that up, Psalm 34:8? Does that sound familiar to anybody? Do you have like a little doily or something in your kitchen with that scripture? It's a great verse to hang in your kitchen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Meaning the more you taste and see, the more you're going to trust. Come on now. See, the more you've tasted something, listen. A few years back, I traveled to Brazil, and there was foods there that I had that I didn't even know that existed. I had different fruits and juices. When I would come down in the morning in Brazil, they love juice, fruit juice. We have orange juice and a few others, you know. I mean, you go there and there's dozens of these juicers. I mean, fruits that I'd never even had before, sodas that I'd never even had before. You know, I went down there and, of course, I started to taste, you know, I was like, oh, I got to try that. And so I would just, you know, take a little bit and I would taste it. And some of that I'd say, I'm going to have more of that. And some of that I'd be like, no way am I having any more of that. But once I tasted it, I could determine whether I was going to go back. And let me see, the Bible's telling us that you will go back once you taste the Spirit of God. Once you have a taste of God, it's so good and always good, you will always want to go back. And if you're not hungry for the things of God right now, it's because you're full of something else. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says to someone that is full, even honey is a bitter thing. Meaning if they're so full on other stuff, even something that's really good no longer appetizes them anymore because they're full of everything else. See, that's what I'm talking about. The more you make room for God, you know, less Facebook, less Instagram, less TV, less movies, more word, more prayer, all of a sudden your spirit starts to get hungry for those things. You put yourself on a spiritual diet. That's what FC Bible Focus is about. I mean, I'll just tell you, in a few days, you know, we've already heard from some people that are saying, I'm just doing this. I'm reading the Bible every day now, and I'm more hungry for God. Yeah, because your spirit is starting to cry out. I like that. I tasted it. It was good. Feed me more. Amen. Your spirit works like that. All right? The spirit and the body have similar functions, though the food is different. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord, all right? So now you can stoke your appetite for the Spirit of God. You can hear and sense into a whole new realm. And when you get born again, you get a whole nother set of senses. I'm going to say it again. We know the five physical senses. Are you with me still?
Yes.
Come on. Listen, if you want to experience God, you got to first learn to get excited about Him. You know, when somebody's hungry and they're craving, their response is different. You know, but someone that sits there says, I'm full. Bah. That's how a lot of Christians come to church. Full on the things of the world. Full on everything else. You know, they think they're doing God a favor. Praise the Lord. When you get born again, you get another set of senses. You're not just living on taste, touch, see, smell, and hearing. Did I mention that? Well, whatever. You know there's five of them. I believe all five of mine are working just fine. You know, wait, let's see. We have taste, touch, hearing, sound, and what else? Taste, smell. That's right. Don't forget the sniffer, right? Don't forget the smeller. All right, so let's talk about real quickly your new senses when you were born again. All right, is it okay to have fun in church? It's okay to have fun in church. I like to have fun in church, praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you have kids sitting here, you know, it's good that they're having fun, praise the Lord. All right, the number one sense that you get when you're born again is faith. Faith. What you see in the natural realm with your eyes, you see in the spiritual realm with faith. Yes. Yes. With faith. I can't see physically, so to speak. Like if you're believing God for healing, healing is not a tangible substance that you can see until it's obviously manifested in your body. Okay? If you need healing from God, that comes from the unseen realm. So it's not something you take a hold of with your physical senses, but you can see it with the eyes of faith, because what allows you to see something with faith? The promises of God. The Bible says over there in Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who what? Forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases. So when I see that written in the book of Psalms, I now can process that through faith and say, you know what? By faith, I'm the healed of the Lord. Right? When I look over there and I see Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, we did esteem him smitten of God, afflicted, but he was bruised for our iniquities, the transgression of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we are healed. And so when I see in the scripture that God calls me healed, when I see 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sins on the tree, in his own body, right? That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I'm not waiting to get healed. The Bible says I was healed back there. And so I look at that and I see it with the eyes of faith. I say, I'm the healed of the Lord. Even though I don't feel like it, maybe you don't look like it, you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, the circumstances don't suggest that, but by the eyes of faith, you can see it. See, the more you can see with the sense of faith, the more you'll receive from God. Let me say that again. The more you can see with your sense of faith, all right, when I say sense, I'm using it as a metaphor, you know, as you use your faith, the more you'll receive from God. The problem with modern Christianity has become an outward sense knowledge kind of faith. Christians are walking around saying, I am healed because I feel like it, or I'm not healed because I feel like it. Listen, it's not what you feel, it's not what you see, it's what God said that we are called to believe. Amen. You know, when we look at Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We look at that and we are supposed to, with faith, see all of our needs met. Say, well, Pastor, what does a bank account say? What does the wallet say? What are the bills stacking up? What does that say? It doesn't matter what they say. See, faith sees into the realm of the Spirit, and faith says, with the eyes of faith, I see my needs provided for. See, faith is your greatest sense in this new realm of being born into the Spirit. You know, Jesus is trying to get that over to Nicodemus, you know. He's saying, well, these things from the kingdom of God, they just came into this realm through somebody who was born again. You are the channel to this natural world in which God is going to pour his miracles through. When Jesus was on the earth, guess what? There was only one that was born from above. Jesus reproduced himself in all of us. And so now there's not just one that can, you know, channel the power of God to this earth. All of us. All of us. It's like every born-again believer is a portal between heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, the indwelling presence of God. I can crave him. I can hunger and desire God. And I'll tell you what, as you step into these things of God, you'll get more and more hungry for him. More and more hungry. Taste and see that it is good. Come on, stoke your appetite. That is what this daily, you know, Bible focus is about, stoking your appetite. That's what praying in the Spirit is about, stoking your appetite. But you know, come on, parents, have you ever dealt with your kids, little kids, you know, maybe they're just starting to eat solid foods, or maybe they're like 6 and 8 years old? I'm picking on my boy, I'm just kidding. But you ever dealt with a kid, you know, and they sit there and you say, oh, you got to try this. Actually, Timothy, you're not like that at all. You tried something at the restaurant the other night, and he loved it. Praise the Lord. It's called prime rib. That is like a bar mitzvah. It's like the entrance into manhood. So Timothy, he's always been brave to try stuff. But you know, have you ever dealt with a child when they're little and, you know, they've never even have had a bite of something? Maybe it's like green bean casserole, which most people love. I like green bean casserole. Yeah. Let's take a vote on green bean casserole right now. Are you a green bean casserole people? Yeah, most of us are. You know, it's a Thanksgiving type of thing, but not limited only to Thanksgiving. But, you know, you'll take a bite of some casserole that's really good. But let's face it, it doesn't have a natural appearance of anything great. You know, and you'll get a fork full of that and you move it towards your kid. They're like, burr, 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 burr. Like, no, no, no. You don't have the, you know, and of course, the legalist in me. I don't accept that. I don't accept somebody that doesn't like something when they've never tried it. People say, I hate roller coasters. You never even been on one. My wife is a little bit like that, a little bit, but of course she has the right to be because she's so awesome. Praise the Lord. But you know, you're moving that scoop of food towards your child and they're just like, no, 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 no. And I have to just present my case. I'm like, wait a minute. You don't get to act like that. You've never even had this before. I don't care. I don't care. I'll hate it. You know, we all laugh, but Christians are doing the same thing with God all the time. God says, hey, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak in another tongue. You've never even had it before. You've never even tried it before. You've never even tasted it. God's saying, listen, I'm trying to get something over to you. You're trying to feed nutritious food in the mouth of your kid, and they're sitting there, nah, nah, nah. You know, you give them the TV dinner, and what do? They go for that fake brownie first. Or that weird, fake, synthetic cherry concoction. It's like pure chemical preservative and... Not that, you know what I mean? But, you know, kids will do that. You remember when you're a kid and someone says, you know, got it, we're in a hurry, so TV dinner tonight. And there's the stuffing in the turkey and the corn, but you get out your fork and you say, fake brownie. Fake brownie. And then your mom comes over and cuts up your turkey, you know, and starts, you know, feeding you some turkey and stuffing. You're fighting it. Christians do it all the time. How is it possible in a child's physiology, like when food is coming towards their mouth that they don't want to eat, all of a sudden they can contort in ways that gets them so much further away from you? Like all of a sudden your arm and you're holding the fork at the very end and it still isn't long enough and they're only 2 feet away from you. You know, it's like they're stretched Armstrong. They go, Christians doing it all the time. Oh, baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues. Tithing, blessing your finances. Going to church on Wednesday nights. Praying every day. You know, and we start to refuse the things that God designed to bless our lives. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, you can't have an appetite for something that you refuse to eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His things are good. Maybe your flesh crawls for a half a second, you know, or more than that. But listen, you are never going to experience God on a full scale until you let your flesh get uncomfortable. Amen. You first look at those things in faith. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a solid doctrine in the Bible. And so I view it through the sense of faith. I receive it by faith. Glory to God. I see a promise of it in here, so I receive God's promises. I see a promise for God's provision, and so I receive it. I receive promises concerning my marriage and my children, and I have to look at it through the sense of faith. And I have to see it on the inside, in my heart, in my spirit, right? We develop that you could say, vision of faith, so to speak, all right? All right, here's the second new sense that you get, and we obviously got to close it up here. The inner witness. The inner witness. Here's another thing that Christians violate, and they're wondering why they're not experiencing God. The inner witness. Real quickly, can you just bring up Romans 8:14? We're going to look at verse 16 too, real quick. Romans 8:14, real quickly. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God wants to lead you how? By the Spirit of God. He's going to talk to you by His Spirit to your spirit. Look at verse 16. You know, we might as well, can we go back up to verse 15? Because so often we skip it, but it's so good. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of adoption. A great Father has now taken care of you. Verse 16, and it tells us what He does. The Spirit itself, it should say Himself. The English says itself, but the Greek says Himself. The Holy Spirit is not an it, He's a Him. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. This is what starts happening the moment you become born again. Here's the greatest way to be led in the things of the spirit realm. People will say, well, no, I'm waiting for God to give me a sign. I'm waiting for something that God isn't giving signs. I'm going to say something that's going to rock your world right now. And if you're religiously minded, this might make you upset. It's wrong in the New Testament to ask God to give you a sign. Remember what Jesus said? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He said, and there shall be none given unto it, He said, except the sign of Jonah the prophet. He said, just as Jonah was in the day, was in the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He's saying, my resurrection will be all the sign you need. You know, but Christians all the time, they're asking, God, if you want me to buy this house or take this job or marry this person, then, you know, cause something to happen. Well, guess what? The devil hears you say that. And the devil provides. And the next thing you know, you're thinking, well, God gave me that sign and it all fell apart. Well, no, no, no. God is now speaking and bearing witness to your spirit. He's not giving outward signs. So stop asking for it. It's called perverse and adulterated. Why? Because it's perverse to God to try to look for it out here when He's dwelling in here. Amen. So this happens, all right? When you get born again, you get a new sense of faith. I don't need to see it or touch it in the physical realm. I can believe it with the sense of faith. All right? Second, I can be led by the inward witness. There is a witness on the inside testifying what to do and what way to go. We could call it this way. The Bible calls it the voice of your conscience. conscience, right? We know 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 talks about how those who have put away a clear conscience have made shipwreck of their faith. You have to listen to your conscience. I'll tell you what, a vast majority of the time, more than 90% of the time, God is going to lead you with the inner witness. The inner witness is real simply this. It's an inner knowing. It's an inner intuition. Yeah. It's just a scratching. It's a hesitation. Okay, yeah. You know what I mean? It won't necessarily come in the form of words or phrases. You'll just kind of have a knowledge. You know, I'll be honest. The inner witness of God has been dealing with me just during this service about other things in my life, things that I'm planning to do, things that, you know, that I have scheduled to do, and the Spirit of God is bearing witness with me, telling, I'll do that, but not there, not now, do this here. You know, you're just on the inside. God doesn't come on the inside of you and say, this is God. Hear ye. You know, thus saith the Lord. You know, it's not that. He's just, yeah, I know. I know. Colossians 3:15 tells us that we are led, that the ruler in our heart is peace. Let peace rule in your heart. Do you have peace on it? Or do you have a hesitation? Is there something in your conscience that's just telling you no? You know, the world calls it, and rightfully so, a gut feeling. You ever had a gut feeling or a gut check? A lot of times, that is the voice of God trying to prevent somebody from getting hurt. Come on, have you ever suffered because you violated what you knew in your heart to do? Oh, I have. There's been times I've gotten downright sick because God said, well, wait, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't go out, you know, don't go out in the cold and you got wet hair. I mean, that should just be common sense. But I mean, you ever just had little things like that in life that you were arrested on the inside? God was trying to prevent that from happening. That's the inner witness. All right? Are you getting some help? Are you getting some help? All right. Well, that's a good time to stop right there. Listen, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You want more of God? You're going to have to crave Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, and I'll tell you what. If you're here today and you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, well, you're going to want to keep coming because I'm going to be teaching on that real soon. Say, well, no. My denomination growing up didn't like it. Well, listen, just because there's lots of kids in the earth that try to back up away from their father when he's trying to feed them what they need, let's not be that place. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can stoke that appetite for the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father,